Hello, London. Today, we've got a great show for you. Graham Henderson, CEO of the London Chamber of Commerce, is with us to talk about how we can improve our quality of life and the city's bottom line by investing more in music, arts, and culture. He joins us right after this.
Discover London Bicycle Cafe. It's the perfect time of year to take a break on their spacious patio, featuring craft beer, espresso drinks, snacks, meals, and more. London Bicycle Cafe at the Forks of the Thames. See you soon.
Okay, welcome back to the Matt Brown Podcast. It's been a busy first half of September. I mentioned off the top that we're going to have Graham Henderson on the show today, and before we do that, we've got some housekeeping items to get you up to date. The podcast has a website now, themattbrownpodcast.com. On the site, you'll be able to download and listen to all of the past episodes that have been published to date. You can get in touch with me there too. Maybe you have an idea about a topic that you'd like me to cover in a future episode. Maybe you want to pitch a topic or be on an episode yourself. Or maybe you just want to let me know what you thought of a previous episode. Please, send me a note. And like I always say, this show is for you. In fact, we couldn't do it without you. Also, there are some small costs associated with running a podcast, and if you like what you're hearing, maybe you'd like to pitch in. There's a button on the main page of the website that you can click on and buy me a coffee. A few of you have contributed already. Thank you for that. And everyone else, any contribution would be greatly appreciated. And I ask for you to consider this with no expectations whatsoever. So this is just the start of the website. I'm working on getting a voicemail button so you can leave a message that could even be played on a future show. I also plan on linking past and future interviews that I've done or will be doing on AM 980 and CBC Radio and maybe some other stuff too. Stay tuned for this one. Oh, one more thing. I'm really excited. I've joined a bi-weekly political panel that airs on CBC Radio at 8:10 every other Wednesday morning. The panel is hosted by Andrew Brown, and I'm joined by former MP Karen Vecchio and former MP Lindsay Matheson. We did our first panel on September 10th. The next one will air live on Wednesday, September 24th. So tune in to that too. Okay, on with the show. Remember that this show is a kind of two-in-one project. This fall, I started hosting Newsmakers on Rogers Channel 13, and that's the show today. I'm sharing portions of the first interview that I did this week, and I'll do that every 2 weeks right after the show airs on Rogers. This one's a good one. Graham has a lot to say. If you want to catch the whole interview, check it out on Rogers Channel 13. It's airing right now until the end of the month. So, let's go. Like I said off the top, Graham Henderson is joining us today to share his ideas about growing the music, art, and culture scene here in London, and why it's not just good for the soul, it's good for our local economy too. Graham is the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce here in London, but you may not know the career path that he followed to land that job back in 2021. So here it is. First, Graham worked as a lawyer in Toronto. He ran a boutique law firm that specialized in entertainment law. He's also past president of Music Canada, and he worked at Universal Music Canada. He's also a huge advocate for music, arts, and culture. With that, here's the show.
So Graham, off the top, people may not know the work that you did in Toronto to promote and build the music scene about a decade ago. Can you give us some background on how that worked?
Sure. Folks are not going to remember probably just how serious a crisis music was in from about 1999 to, well, 2015. But those that do will remember file sharing. And file sharing literally collapsed the market for music in Canada. It went from a $1.5 billion business at the register to about $500 million, and that $1 billion just disappeared. It destroyed careers, it destroyed lives, it destroyed so much. So we needed to do a lot of fixes, and along the way it became apparent to me that all levels of government needed to play a role. It wasn't just the federal government and copyright reform. What can the province do? What can communities do? So we decided that we were going to pitch the province of Ontario on a music fund. Very successful pitch, had within 2 months, it was in a budget, and it was $15 million a year being pumped into the music economy. So that was great. But what about the communities? What about the cities?
Right.
And so I started to do some research. I felt I felt that there were things that communities could do, but what could they do? So I started to look around, who is supporting their music community at a municipal level? And the one that really stuck out to me was Austin.
Austin, Texas. That's
yeah,
right.
Austin calling themselves the live music capital of the world. And we hired a consultant who compared the music industry in Toronto with the music industry in Austin. Why is Austin generating $1.5 billion a year? And Toronto's only generating $500 million, but it's 4 or 5 times the size of Austin. Why? So the answer we came up with was they had a plan and they were actively supporting their community. So we developed a series of recommendations to turn Toronto into a, quote, music city. We were pretty much the first people to be doing it, like eliciting, okay, what is the secret sauce? What are the magic things that need to be done? And so we were successful in Toronto. It was a trial case. It was low-hanging fruit for me because I was there. And what they did was introduce a music office and funded it. They created a music advisory council, which I sat on and advised economic development. And they developed a music strategy for the city. Sort of those three principles are supplemented by another 40, but that's where it all began.
Right, right. And so really it's about coming up with a plan and then working your way through the plan. It's got to be comprehensive. And this sort of thing just doesn't happen by luck.
No, looking at Austin and seeing the gigantic economic impact music was having on their community.
Right.
To the point where, you know, we interviewed the governor, we interviewed the mayor, we interviewed everybody, and they all said the same thing, that there wasn't a single pitch that Austin was making to anyone, whether it was a student they wanted to come back from UT, an out-of-state student, or a high-profile, high-net-worth individual, a conference. It all involved pitches connected with their vibrant music scene, their vibrant cultural scene. That is what was drawing people, that was what was keeping people, and that was what was making an economic difference.
Yeah, I get it. Now let's shift our focus to London. Around the same period of time, back during my 2 terms on council, we were studying an awful lot of different ideas, and yours came on our radar. We made a lot of investments. We invested in Dundas Place.
Yeah.
We opened a music office.
Yeah.
We developed a music strategy. And then, you know, community partners from Budweiser Gardens at the time, from Tourism London, local talent, city staff, of course, and others, came up with an idea to get behind a couple of really big events. And one, of course, was the Canadian Country Music Week, an awards show. Mm-hmm. And London was able to win that bid back in 2018, I believe it was. And then we were working towards and really, really happy when we were able to receive the winning bid for the Junos in 2019. If we look back in time, what was happening? Why were these bids successful, with London being a medium-sized city? And were we just at the right place at the right time?
No, I remember this very well. The papers that we produced became kind of famous. Chicago was using them. Cities around the world started using them. And actually, it was folks from the city came down to meet with me and said, okay, we get it. This is fantastic. We want to implement. Can we talk about it? So I had long conversations. So I think there were 3 town halls that we did of increasing size. And then the next thing you know, you got a music office, and you got it's funded, right? And then you've got a music strategy. So there are the 3 pieces right there that you're looking for as sort of like the table stakes. It's the ante to get into the game. So London would have stuck out for the Junos and for the Country Music Awards as a city that was investing in its music community. And that's rare. It was rare then, and it's still kind of rare now. London is one of the very few communities that, starting from scratch, really sort of wrapped their arms around this issue. Okay, we understand the problem, and we know, and we're going to start to get on with it. And bidding for things like those sorts of award shows really helps because they build your brand.
Yeah, I can remember that the Junos for the 2018 version were in Vancouver, and I was able to attend with the team and address the crowd.
Of course, that's right, because you got the handoff.
That's right, and be able to, 1 year prior to the Junos coming to London, just tell people on the other side of the country, London is a music city. Yeah. Now, then of course in 2021, and I don't know if that's a coincidence that you arrived here in 2021, and London also was identified as a UNESCO City of Music. I think a lot of people may not understand what that designation is. We are the only city that's designated that way in Canada, as I understand it.
Yeah.
And there are only 59 others around the world.
Okay, well, let's just talk a little bit about it, because you're right. Very few people understand just how special this is. We are part of a UNESCO, which is an arm, the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. They have a special arm that is set up to encourage the development and sustaining culture. And they've done it through by the creation of what they call the UNESCO Cities of Culture Network. What it does is we are recognized as being part of a community of cities that have stepped up for culture, and have become part of a network which is filled with best practices, so you have access to that. It opens a window for the world on London. They can peer in and start to see us as something different,
right,
and the other way around. And so it's a way to, again, brand your city and encourage cultural development.
Fascinating. And again, this doesn't happen by luck. There's a lot of planning and there's a lot of energy that goes
An enormous amount of work would have gone into the pitch.
You know, one of the things that I've observed from the outside looking in is your arrival here in London in 2021 and taking on the role as CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. Under your leadership, and I'm sure that of the boards as well, I see that you've really expanded the scope of the Chamber. But you do. You spend a lot of time and resources to expand music, art, and culture here in London. And why are you doing that?
So I was brought in as a change agent. Very clearly, the board wanted change. They wanted more people to see themselves in the chamber.
Yeah. Some people are surprised, though, when they hear that investing in things like music and art and culture, that money doesn't just disappear into a bottomless pit. It's actually good for a local economy. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, they're not nice to haves. I mean, they're essential to have. All the research that we did in music, and this applies to culture at large, and this is what we're talking about now, a vibrant cultural scene in your downtown and in the environs is the essential element. It's the secret sauce that will make your downtown sing. And when that happens, property values go up, vagrancy goes down, you develop a brand so that you're better known. You're not just, I mean, I would, it's an interesting question for Londoners to ask themselves. If you were on an airplane and somebody beside you said, "Where are you from?" "I'm from London." What would you say? What do we say right now? "I'm from the Forest City?" You get a pretty blank stare for that. So Austin gets to say, "Where are you from?" "Oh, man, I'm from the live music capital of the world, and we are keeping things weird." And then you got a conversation.
And you know, I will say that we had a city planner, a longtime city planner, John Fleming, who's still here in the London community. And he would tell council that London's downtown is our calling card to the world.
You got it. Our research tells us that cities are judged, like it or not, they are judged by their downtowns. And that point I made about Austin, anybody coming to Austin is taken right downtown. So we need to have that calling card. When you did Dundas Place, I look at Dundas Place with all the research that I've done as a world-class piece of infrastructure. How do you make it sing?
Right.
Now, I think that the folks that are running Dundas Place are doing an incredible job. But I don't think they have the funding or... Let me put it this way. One of the hidden issues in becoming a great city of culture, oddly enough, is in your bylaws, your regulations, your licensing. It's how do we make it easier for businesses that are vital to us to stay in business, to stay where they are, and to do the magic that they will do for a downtown. It's why you support Canada Life Place, right? Why are we building an addition? Because we need, how many people?
10,000.
10,000.
Yeah.
We need 10,000 people on Friday nights. That's what we need. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that we can do. So culture-friendly regulatory system is a key.
Got it. And so we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
Time's not our friend today. But to wrap things up, I think a number I came across some time ago, and I'm going to give you the rough figures, is that a downtown, downtown London specifically, represents less than 1% of the city's geography and over 5% of the economic development and tax assessment. So a strong downtown, it's a closed ecosystem. It means a vibrant Byron. It means a vibrant East London. It's investing in every Londoner's backyard.
Every city that has invested in its downtown is being paid enormous dividends. You will convince a major manufacturing company to come to London that might not otherwise have come if you can show them something really great in your downtown. It works, and it will also keep students here.
You know, we could do a whole show on the London Economic Development Corporation and Tourism London. And I'm just as you're talking, I see a real need for them to merge. And I don't want to cause any trouble out there, so I'm not going to ask you about that. We talked about the UNESCO City of Music a little while ago. And we were very fortunate, worked really hard to receive that kind of recognition as a community. Mm-hmm. Is that a permanent thing, or could we lose it?
Well, I mean, you are required by UNESCO to prepare four-year quadrennial reports. I don't know of anybody who's ever lost it, but I would assume that if you don't lean into it, you might. And if I was going to end on a note, as someone who's studied this all around the world, I would say that we are not leaning in the way we need to lean in. There are some systemic changes that we need to be making at the corporation itself. We need a unified culture department that's brought together in one place that reports into economic development, and we need to properly fund that. And we do need a new culture strategy. We need a revamped music strategy. All of this will pay dividends, but we've got an incredible gift that UNESCO gave us. Now, City Council, city staff, and the community need to lean in on this.
You know, I really see this as becoming an election issue. We're almost into silly season. We're not quite there yet, but there is a municipal election in October of next year, and I'm sure people will be talking about it. One of the ways to frame it is London was very fortunate to become the first city in Canada to be recognized as a UNESCO Music City. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be the first city in Canada be recognized as losing that distinction. And you make a really good point about the plan. I mean, you've been really clear about that, but then also the need to fund it and that's really an investment. It's something that's going to pay dividends. I don't know what the payback number is. Maybe you do, but I'm sure it's significant.
Big. Yeah, and I would just say, too, that it's not magic. It's hard work and a little bit of funding, and it will achieve remarkable returns.
Well, Graham, I think that's an excellent place to leave it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks for communicating so clearly the value of music, art, and culture.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you again soon.
All right. Thanks very much.
And I'll be back with more right after this.
Discover London Bicycle Cafe, home of family cargo and urban cycling. Test ride an e-bike along riverside trails to see how easy moving through our city can really be. London Bicycle Cafe at the Forks of the Thames. See you soon.
Well, that's the show. Remember, you can catch the whole conversation in its entirety over on Rogers Channel 13. Don't have Rogers? There's never been a better time to subscribe. Our London Knights are back in action, and they do a great job covering the game. I'd like to thank Graham Henderson for coming on Newsmakers and being a part of this podcast too. Also, many thanks to my producer for the Newsmakers show, Chris Berghaus. I'm learning a lot from Chris, and I'm grateful for his support. Remember, this show is for you. It's all about local, and maybe some other stuff too. Please reach out and tell us what you think. Tell us what you'd like us to cover. Maybe you have a question about how things work. If you do, send it in and we'll address it in a future episode. You can email us at the Matt Brown Podcast at gmail.com or by visiting the website at themattbrownpodcast.com. Your messages will come directly to me, and I'll read every one. I'll respond as often as I can, too. So, until next time, that's the show. Bye for now, and talk to you soon, London.